The Daydream by Alfred Tennyson, Parts 2 through 6. Part 2. The Sleeping Palace. The varying year, with blade and a sheaf, close and reclose the happy plains. Here rests the sap within the leaf, here stays the blood along the veins. Faint shadows, vapors lightly curled, faint murmurs from the meadows come, like hints and echoes of the world to spirits folded in the womb. Soft luster bays the range of urns on every slanting terrace lawn. The fountain to his place returns, deep in the garden lake withdrawn. Here droops the banner on the tower, on the hall hearse the festal fires, the peacock in his lural bower, the parrot in his gilded wires. Roof-haunting martins worm their eggs, in these, in those, the life is stayed. The mantles from the golden pegs droop sleepily, no sound is made. Not even of a gnat that sings, more like a picture seemeth all, than those old portraits of old kings that watch the sleepers from the wall. Here sits the butler with a flask between his legs, half-drained, and there, the wrinkled steward at his task, the maid of honor blooming fair. The page has caught her hand in his, her lips are severed as to speak, his own are pouted to a kiss, the blush is fixed upon her cheek. Till all the hundred summers pass, the beams that through the oriel shine make prisms in every carven glass, and a beaker brimmed with noble wine. Each baron at the banquet sleeps, grave faces gathered in a ring. The king his state reposing keeps, he must have been a jolly king. All round a hedge up shoots and shows, at distance like a little wood, thorns, ivies, woodbine, mistletoes, and grapes with bunches red as blood. All creeping plants, a wall of green, close matted, burr and brake and briar, and a glimpsing over these just seen, high up, the topmost palace spire. When will the hundred summers die, and a thought and a time be born again, and newer knowledge drawing nigh bring a truth that sways the soul of men? Here all things in their place remain, as all were ordered ages since. Come care and a pleasure, hope and a pain, and bring the fated fairy prince. Part 3. The Sleeping Beauty. Year after year unto her feet, she lying on her couch alone, across the purpled coverlet the maiden's jet-black hair has grown. On either side her tranced form, forth streaming from a braid of pearl, the slumberous light is rich and warm, and moves not on the rounded curl. The silk star-broidered coverlid unto her limbs itself doth mold, languidly ever and amid her full black ringlets downward rolled. Glows forth each softly shadowed arm with bracelets of the diamond bright. Her constant beauty doth inform stillness with love and a day with light. She sleeps, her breathings are not heard in palace chambers far apart. The fragrant tresses are not stirred that lie upon her charmed heart. She sleeps, on either hand upswells the gold-fringed pillow lightly pressed. She sleeps, nor dreams, but ever dwells a perfect form in perfect rest. Part 4. The Arrival. All precious things discovered late to those that seek them issue forth, for love in sequel works with fate and draws the veil from hidden worth. He travels far from other skies, his mantle glitters on the rocks, a fairy prince with joyful eyes, and lighter footed than the fox. The bodies and the bones of those that strove in other days to pass are withered in the thorny close, or scattered blanching in the grass. He gazes on the silent dead, they perished in their daring deeds. This proverb flashes through his head, the many fail, the one succeeds. He comes, scarce knowing what he seeks. He breaks the hedge, he enters there. The color flies into his cheeks. He trusts to light on something fair. For all his life the charm did talk about his path and hover near, with words of promise in his walk and whispered voices in his ear. More close and close his footsteps wind. The magic music in his heart beats quick and quicker till he find the quiet chamber far apart. His spirit flutters like a lark. He stoops to kiss her on his knee. Love, if thy tresses be so dark, how dark those hidden eyes must be. Part 5. The Revival. A touch, a kiss, the charm was snapped. There rose a noise of striking clocks, and a feet that ran, and doors that clapped, and barking dogs, and crowing cocks. A fuller light illumined all, a breeze through all the garden swept. A sudden hubbub shook the hall, and 60 feet the fountain leapt. The hedge broke in, the banner blew, the butler drank, the steward scrawled. The fire shot up, the martin flew, the parrot screamed, the peacock squalled. The maid and page renewed their strife, the palace banged and buzzed and clacked, and all the long-pent stream of life dashed downward in a cataract. And last of all, the king awoke, and in his chair himself upreared, and yawned and rubbed his face and spoke, "By holy rood, a royal beard! How say you? We have slept, my lords. My beard has grown into my lap." The barons swore with many words. 'Twas but an after-dinner snap. "Pardy," returned the king, "but still, my joints are something stiffer so. My lord, and shall we pass the bill I mentioned half an hour ago?" The chancellor, sedate and vain, in courteous words returned reply, but dallied with his golden chain, and, smiling, put the question by. Part 6. The Departure. And on her lover's arm she leant, and around her waist she felt it fold, and afar across the hills they went in that new world which is the old. Across the hills and far away, beyond their utmost purple rim, and deep into the dying day, the happy princess followed him. "I'd sleep another 100 years, oh love, for such another kiss. Awake forever, love," she hears. "Oh love, 'twas such as this and this." And o'er them many a sliding star, and many a merry wind was born, and streamed through many a golden bar, the twilight melted into morn. O happy eyes, long laid in sleep, O happy sleep that lightly fled, O happy kiss that woke thy sleep, O love, thy kiss would wake the dead. And o'er them many a flowing range of vapor buoyed the crescent bark, and wrapped with many a rosy change, the twilight died into the dark. 100 summers, can it be? And whither thou goest, tell me where. Oh, seek my father's court with me, for there are greater wonders there. And o'er the hills, and far away, beyond their utmost purple rim, beyond the night, across the day, through all the world she followed him.